This morning, I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I'd like to preach this morning on the subject, counting the cost. So pray with me as we ask the Lord for His blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to gather around Your Word one more time. We ask now that You would bless Your Word, that our hearts would be open, that our spiritual ears and eyes would be opened by the Holy Spirit, and that He would minister to our hearts as we need. Lord, if someone here today is lost, I pray that they'd not leave here in that condition, but they would trust You today. Lord, we ask for Your help today. Lord, as the pastor, I ask for Your help today. God, I'm a needy person, and I need Your help. I can do nothing unless You are involved. I ask for Your presence and Your power here today. Thank You for loving us and keeping us. And we ask that You just bless this church. Have Your way in the service, and we'll give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Counting the cost. This particular passage seems to be a paradox. And I guess in some ways it is. We know that on one hand that salvation is by grace through faith and not of works. And yet Jesus tells the multitudes following Him to count the cost. We know the Bible teaches that nothing can be done to earn salvation. But our Lord says if you are going to follow Him, it's going to cost you something. These two truths seem to contradict one another, but they do not contradict one another. Jesus told these folks that were following Him to count the cost. There was great multitudes following Him, and He turned and said, Hey, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That is a hard saying, isn't it? Does the Bible indicate here, is our Savior telling us that we need to hate our parents? Well, of course not. Is it saying we need to hate our children? No. Or hate our spouse? No. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is saying here, that all those people, all those relationships cannot come before Him. They can't come before God. Your children can't come before God. Your spouse can't come before God. Your parents. Jesus Christ comes before all those things. And that's what he's saying here. Even your own self cannot come before God. C.H. Spurgeon wrote, "Those who will only believe what they can reconcile will necessarily disbelieve much of divine revelation." In other words, because I can't reconcile the fact that salvation is by grace through faith and the fact that Jesus says, count the cost, I can't reconcile those two very easily. That doesn't change the fact. The fact is, that's what the Bible says. We tell sinners to come to Christ just as they are, and rightly so. And Jesus also tells sinners to count the cost, and rightly so. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the gospel that has been neglected these days. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of conversions, quote unquote, that would probably be found out very quick, like to not be conversions at all if people would just preach what Jesus said. In other words, if I stood in front of a group of young people and said, look, you say you want to be saved, but you need to count the cost. This is what's going to happen. This is what it means. I'd probably lose some converts. But this is the gospel. Sin must be dealt with. When Jesus addressed the woman at the well, he addressed her sin, didn't he? He addressed the fact that she was living with a man. He addressed the fact that she had had several husbands. Sin has to be dealt with. Conviction must be present. One preacher from the 1800s said this about counting the cost. There are enemies to be overcome, battles to be fought, sacrifices to be made, an Egypt to be forsaken, a wilderness to be passed through, a cross to be carried, a race to be run. Conversion is not putting a man in a easy chair, a lazy boy, and taking him to heaven. That's not conversion. It's the beginning of a mighty conflict which costs much to win the victory. Many churches today and preachers today are teaching and preaching another gospel. They're preaching a gospel that implies you can be saved and yet not be a disciple. But the Bible doesn't know anything about that. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's a lot of folks that imply that you can go to heaven and still live like hell. That's not what the Bible says. A lot of modern day Christianity teaches that there's two kinds of Christians. There's the regular and high test. You old folks remember that. When I was a kid, my dad would pull into the gas station and the guy would come out and he'd say, fill her up, high test. That was before your time, some of you. They'd wash your windows and check your oil, and check your air and your tires, all kinds of stuff. But there's a lot of folks, they think Christians are like that. They think when God saves somebody, you got a choice. You can be regular or high test. But the Bible doesn't know anything about that. It's not what the Bible teaches. Some folks, you know, they think, well, there's normal Christians and then there's super saints. Well, I got news for you. We're all disciples if you're saved. The late missionary James A. Stewart said, so great has been the perversion of the gospel that many congregations are astounded when they hear the true gospel, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They believe we are preaching another gospel. That's a... To tell people that they can be saved and not change is a false gospel. Amen. To tell people they can be saved and don't have to count the cost is a false gospel. If anybody knows about preaching the gospel, surely Jesus Christ knows about preaching the gospel. Yes. And he turned around to these people, the multitudes that were following him, and said, you better count the cost. You better count the cost. I want to say, number one, true Christianity costs something. True Christianity costs something. Now, let me just tell you this right up. Salvation has been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. So when I say Christianity costs something, you couldn't do anything to purchase your salvation. You couldn't do it. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. When he cried, it is finished from the cross, it was finished. It was finished. It was paid for by our Lord. You and I cannot add anything to our salvation. We have been redeemed by the precious. Can you imagine somebody trying to add something to the blood of the Son of God? You can't add anything to that. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't add anything to that. But when Jesus warns the multitude that following him will cost them something, he's trying to tell them the Christian life is not the old life. Unlike the military recruiter, you know, sometimes some of us here has been in the military. When you go to the Army recruiter, the Air Force recruiter, or the Marines, or whoever, the Navy, Coast Guard, I want to get all the branches. If you go to those recruiters, they don't always tell you everything. As a matter of fact, there's things they hold back. Now, they'll talk about how you get to travel, and they'll talk about all the pretty women on those islands over there, and they'll talk about the money, and they'll talk about how you can get a college education. But there's a lot of things they won't talk about much. They purposely don't bring that up. But our Savior was not like an Army recruiter, was he? He told the folks right from the beginning, hey, this is not an easy life. This is not an easy life. Spurgeon again said, the great captain of our salvation would have his followers take all things into consideration before they cast in their lot with him. He wanted them to count the cost, didn't he? I'm telling you this morning, you need to count the cost. If you're here lost, you need to count the cost. You need to know that following Christ will cost you something. As a matter of fact, it may cost you everything. There are people that have had, Paul was an example of that, wasn't he? It cost Paul everything, including his life. So what does it cost to be a true Christian? And again, I'm not talking about what Christ done for us. I'm talking about what might come into your life as a Christian. And there's some things that will. I can tell you right now, it's going to come in. If you trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior, there's some things going to happen to you. If you truly are saved, there's some things going to happen to you need to think about. Number one, it's going to cost you your self-righteousness. You're going to be content to go to heaven as a poor sinner saved by grace. You're going to be content to be saved not by your good works, not by anything you've done, not by any ritual, but by Jesus Christ and him alone. That's going to cost you your self-righteousness. You're not going to be able to say, I'm a good person, I did this, I did that, I joined the church, I was baptized. None of that stuff's going to matter. You're just going to have to say it's by Jesus Christ and him alone. So it's going to cost you your self-righteousness. It is going to cost you your sins. You say, whoa. I'm telling you, it's going to cost you your sins. Our sins are dear to us. We love our sins. We cleave to our sins. And Jesus said to part with them is like cutting off the right hand or plucking out the eye. But I'm telling you, your sins, your sinful lifestyle is going to have to change if you get saved. You can't go to heaven holding on to your sinful lifestyle. Repent and believe the gospel, the Bible says. It means mortifying our sin. It means a lifetime of mortifying our sins. You say, preacher, do you believe that we can be sinless? Absolutely not. But I'm telling you this, if you get saved, you won't want to sin. You don't like to sin. You wish you didn't sin. And when you do sin, you'll be grieved by it. So when you trust Christ, it means turning, doesn't it? It'll cost you your laziness. It'll cost you your laziness. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, a Christian has to strive. A Christian has to fight. A Christian has to run. A Christian has to walk. A Christian has to have self-control. A Christian, the apostle said, it's a race toward heaven. It's a race. He said it's a fight toward heaven. It's a fight of self-denial. It's a fight of watchfulness. You have to watch yourself. You have to watch your temper. You have to watch your imagination. You have to watch your motives. A Christian has to do those things. You just may as well know that up front. Before you sign on the dotted line and raise your right hand and swear an oath, you need to know the facts. It will cost you the favor of the world. We're living in an age where it'll cost you the favor of the world. I posted an article on Facebook this morning. There was a man, I don't remember exactly where he was at now. It'll come to me in a minute probably. But he was a farmer, and he sold his produce at the farmer's market. He put on Facebook that he was for traditional marriage, and the farmer's market kicked him out of the farmer's market because of something he posted on Facebook about being for traditional marriage. I'm just trying to give that as an example. It may cost you something to be a Christian these days. You'll have family members that think you're a nut. You'll have friends and co-workers who don't want to be around you much. You'll be ridiculed. People will slander you. You'll be hated without a cause just because you're a Christian. I'm telling you, it may cost you something to be a Christian. I know it will. It'll cost you something. It could cost you your job, couldn't it, these days? It could cost you relationships with people. So it'll cost you something. But I want you to know, number two, Jesus said count the cost. Jesus said count the cost. He comes first. He comes before your family. He comes before your job. He comes before any influence you have in the world. He comes before anything. Does he not? Jesus comes first. Jesus, and look at verse 25. And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He didn't say, well, you can be a disciple, you'll just be down on the lower tier there. You keep working at it, you might get super saint eventually. It's not what he said, is it? What's he saying? He's saying count the cost. Count the cost. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 33, he says a similar thing. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Are y'all awake? You know, Vance Havner said, he said, if you ever want to hear Christians lie, listen to them sing a song, a hymn book, out of the hymn book. And I thought of this hymn as I was preparing this message. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live.
I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. We sing that, but then I look at you while I'm trying to preach this message, and y'all looking at me like I got two heads. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said to count the cost. I didn't say it. The Baptist didn't even say it. Jesus said it. Matthew Henry in his commentary stated, since He has been so just to tell us so plainly what difficulties we shall meet in following Him, let us be so just to ourselves as to weigh the matter seriously before we take upon us a profession of religion. In other words, you ought to consider this. You ought to count the cost. You ought to count the cost. All I know is what I know. And as far as testimonies go, all I know is my testimony. I don't know your testimony. I mean, your testimony is your testimony. But I can tell you something. At the age of 25, when I decided to follow Jesus Christ, I realized there's some things that's going to have to go out of my life. No preacher had to come to my house and say, now, you're going to have to quit cussing and drinking beer and all that. You're going to have to quit all that and put your dirty magazines up. You're going to have to quit all that. Nobody had to come tell me that. In my mind, I had counted the cost. I had counted the cost way ahead. We're living in a day where people aren't even told to count the cost. You know, there's a reason that so many folks make a profession and follow Christ for a little while and then fall off. I can tell you one of the reasons was the ground wasn't tilled up real good. You know what I'm doing today? I'm plowing. I'm tilling the ground up. There's a lot of things going on. This high pressure evangelism, where they just try to get people to repeat a prayer or whatever, and they don't tell people about counting the cost, that's not right. You might get 100 people to do that, but they don't even know what they're doing. You need to count the cost. You need to count the cost. The reason that there are so many who grow cold and soon fall away and fall off is, one of the reasons is they didn't count the cost. They're what the Bible calls a stony ground here. They don't have any root in them. They don't have any root. They just received the word with joy, the Bible says. They thought, oh boy, I can be saved and go to heaven. But they didn't count the cost. And then the Bible says, I didn't say this, the Bible says it. The Bible says that when tribulation comes, they fall away. When persecution comes, they fall away. When the going gets tough, that they got going. They didn't stick around. Did they? Why is that? Well, the Bible says they didn't have any root in them. They were superficial. Have you ever planted something and it come up real pretty, and then a couple days later after the sun come out real strong, you looked at it and it was yellow and withered? And you pulled it up and the reason why is there's a rock right under there and the roots couldn't get any moisture. Stony ground. I want to tell you today, to turn to Christ means to turn from the world. It means to bear a cross. It means striving to be holy in an unholy world. Right? It means striving to be holy in an unholy world. It means holding to old-fashioned doctrines. It means holding to old-fashioned ideas. I mean, in relation to new-fashioned ideas. I mean, we live in a day where, I mean, it's being told to us over and over and over that same-sex couples and same-sex marriage is normal, it's okay. If you follow Christ, you're not going to be able to hold to that. We're being told today that little boys and little girls, when they're born, if they decide later on they want to be a boy that becomes a girl or a girl that becomes a boy, we're being told that's normal, that's okay. Well, you're not going to be able to hold to that as a Christian. You can't hold to that. What I'm trying to tell you is it's you're going to be swimming upstream, folks. The Christian life is against the world, isn't it? It goes against, it's always been that way, but it seems to be worse now than what it has been. No man can serve two masters, Jesus said. To look toward heaven means to look away from this earth. We sing that. That's another hymn we sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. As you look to Christ, this world will, it'll be in the background, won't it? Now, just so, let me give you an illustration so you won't think I'm talking about works, because I'm not talking about works. You can't work to be saved. I preach a salvation that works. I don't preach a work salvation. Let me give you an illustration. We've all seen these folks. Let's say we see a beggar. The guy, you know, with the cardboard sign, or the guy sitting on the sidewalk with a tin cup or whatever. Let's say that beggar, he didn't know it, but someone in his family dies. Let's make him a rich uncle. Don't you wish you had a rich uncle die and leave you something? Let's say his rich uncle dies and leaves this man something. Let's say that this rich uncle dies and leaves this man a business, a company that has to be run. That beggar can't continue on doing what he's doing, can he? What I'm trying to tell you is, he has to change. Now, what did it cost him for his uncle to leave him those millions of dollars in the company? Didn't cost him a thing, did it? Didn't cost him a thing. But guess what? If he accepts that, he can't go out tomorrow morning and sit on Summer Street with a tin cup. He's got a business to run. He's got a job. He's got money to manage. Something's happened in his life that has changed him. Did he work for it? Why, no, he's a beggar. And by the way, if you got money to buy cigarettes, beer, and tattoos, and lottery tickets, you ain't getting my money. I work too hard for it. I'm not giving it to you. But if a beggar, if a rich uncle leaves a beggar millions of dollars in a business, his life's going to change, isn't it? His life's going to change. Am I right? Well, if you get eternal life and salvation through Jesus Christ, your life's going to change. I can tell you right now, this is a fact. This has been proven. I've watched documentaries of men this happened to. There's been men let out of jail and begged to go back because they didn't want to. And I imagine there's some beggars, if an uncle gave them a big inheritance and a company to run, they'd say, I'll just stay a beggar. Y'all nodding your head yes. You know I'm telling you right. Well, there's some folks, when they're confronted with the fact that they need Jesus Christ and eternal life, they said, I'll just stay the way I am. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, Jesus said.
true Christianity will cost you something. Jesus said, count the cost. And then lastly, true Christianity is worth the cost. True Christianity is worth the cost. Cost what it may, it's worth what it cost. If your family forsakes you, it's worth it. If your friends forsake you, it's worth it. If you get fired from your job, it's worth it. No matter what it costs you, it's worth it. It's worth it. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, isn't there? It's worth it. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ, Jesus compared it to building a great building or fighting a war, didn't he? Am I right? Is that what he compared it to? He said it's like building a great building or it's like fighting a war. It's like fighting a war. Faith and repentance are a life work. You're going to fight that battle all the way, aren't you? It's a life work. Having your sins forgiven, certainly that's worth the cost. Having been made part of God's family, that's worth the cost. I got to tell you something, folks. I have family that's basically disowned me. I mean, they're cordial, but they don't really like being around me much. Because I'm a Christian. But I've got a family in God's people that I wouldn't trade for nothing. Some of you sitting here are much closer than my family to me. I wouldn't trade that for anything. Having access to God, surely that's worth the cost. Knowing the peace of God, that's worth the cost, isn't it? Gaining heaven. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to heaven. That's worth whatever it costs you. That's worth whatever. Paul said, I count all those things, all that past life, all his education, all his being a Pharisee, all those things that would have mattered in those days. He said, I count it all but dung that I could gain Christ. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's worth the cost. It's worth the cost. Anything you lose or give up for Jesus Christ is minor. It's nothing. You remember, some of you still probably do it. When you was a kid, you'd want to put money in the bubblegum machine. And you'd get that plastic ring out of there, you know. And that plastic ring's absolutely worthless, wasn't it? I'm telling you, that's what this world is compared to heaven. Everything in this world is like that bubblegum trinket. It's not going to matter, is it? It's not going to matter. Anything you give up for Christ will be worth it. It'll be worth it. I promise you it'll be worth it. And let me tell you something. Let me just say this in love. Anything I've gave up has really been to my benefit. The things that I had to do away with, they were things that really would hurt me for the most part. God doesn't want to make it to where you're miserable. He wants to take away the things that are dangerous and damaging to you. When he asks you to give up sin, he's not trying to hurt you, is it? He's doing what's best for us. And let me just say this. Look at what Christ has done for us. Is there anything too much for him to ask of us, considering what he's done for us? I love that hymn. It says, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. Do you know him today? Matthew Henry said, all the disciples and followers of Jesus Christ must deny themselves. It's the fundamental law of admission into Christ's school, and the first and great lesson to be learned in this school, to deny ourselves. It is both the straight gate and the narrow way. In other words, when you get saved, folks, you can't live like you want to. Did you ever hear that? Baptists are attacked viciously for that sometimes. They'll say, you Baptist, you think when you get saved you can live any way you want to. Did you ever hear that? You once in grace, always in grace. You people think you can get saved, live any way you want to. And you know what? I agree with that. The difference is God has changed my want to. I don't want to live like I used to live. Do you? And when I do fall and fail and live like I used to, I'm not happy about that. Because God has changed me. Has he changed you? Has he changed you? Salvation is not just deliverance from hell. It's deliverance from sin. If a person would have justification, you're also going to have sanctification. If you want pardon and forgiveness, you're going to also have holiness. If you want to walk the streets of gold, you're going to have to walk the road of holiness. I'm asking you today, have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? Have you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? He's Lord, isn't he? He's Master. In other words, I'm trying to tell you this, and I'm closing right now. You can't get saved and saying in your heart, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ to be my Savior, but I don't want him to be my boss. You can't get saved that way, folks. You cannot get saved that way. You have to accept him for who he is, and he's Lord and Savior, isn't he? If you're going to follow Christ, you have to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. Now, you might not like what I've said today, but you know what I've said. And I'm just telling you what the Bible says, folks. This is what the Bible says. And I'll stand before God one of these days, and you'll be there too. And I feel like in my heart I've done my best to tell you that if you're going to follow Christ, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. You need to know that before you trust Christ, if you haven't trusted Christ. And those of you who maybe didn't know that, you know it now. Vance Havner said when he got saved, he said he didn't know what all the Lordship of Christ meant. He said, but when I learned it, he said, I didn't rebel against it. I was glad to hear it. You might not understand all that I've said, but if you're saved, it won't make you mad. You'll be glad that Jesus is Lord, won't you? Yes. Let's stand. Thank you for your attention this morning.